Overhead Door Company, the original garage door company, serving you for over 90 years. Call 843-767-0028 or overheaddoorco.com. Overhead Door Company of Charleston, proud to open hour two of the Morrow Midday Show.
This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Guess who's back, 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 back again. Shady's back, back, back. Tell a friend, friend, friend. Guess who's back, 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 guess who's back.
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. The play-in tournament begins tonight in the NBA and coming up in just a moment. Why it's actually a good thing for the LA Lakers. Hey, we'll be out tomorrow at the Ocean Course on Kiawah for the PGA Championship. The tournament officially begins on Thursday, but our coverage begins tomorrow with the kickoff of 25 hours of coverage, starting with the Morrow Midday Show tomorrow out there on Kiawah for the 2021 PGA Championship. Looking forward to getting out there and being out there all week long. We'll do special shows on Saturday and Sunday, so we'll be doing our show, Fan Talk, as normal the next couple of days. Then Saturday and Sunday, we'll be out there for special shows. Golf analyst Scott Glaze and Meredith Taylor will join us, and all the fun begins tomorrow at noon. If you're heading out there or if you're just in the area, maybe you're going out just to get something to eat, you want to be in the area, stop by our tent located on the Freshfields Village lawn for a chance to win a round for a foursome at Stono Ferry. We were out there yesterday. I told you the story about how I had to parallel park the van. I was so proud of myself. And scoping out the digs, and we got a nice setup. Very cool. And I saw the little walkway they have from the shuttles that will take you to the course. So it's all right there. If you're going out there this week, plan and prepare. Give yourself like 2 hours to get out there if you're coming from the Charleston area. You know, yesterday leaving from here in West Ashley, it took us over an hour to get there, and that was on Monday. And that was even with a couple of shortcuts. We had to cut the line, right? You have to be a little bit of a jerk. You know those people that wait to merge? They drive all the way up to the end and merge, and they cut in into the line instead of just getting into the back of the line and waiting there forever. You got to do. You got to pull a few shortcuts like that. You go through the light and then pull a U-turn and take a right a little bit quicker that way than waiting in line to take the left. You know what I'm saying, right? So, and it still took over an hour. It's crazy. So give yourself enough time to get out there. And when you do, parking for the tournament is on Kiawah Island at Freshfields Village, and then the shuttles take you to the golf course. So you could walk right over to the restaurants when you're done watching golf for the day, or if you want to grab lunch beforehand, if you're in no rush to get to the course, whatever it may be, you got some time to kill. When you park, you got all the restaurants, the shops over there. We'll be over there as well, and then they'll shuttle you to the course. Our coverage of the 2021 PGA Championship is presented by Starling Chevrolet, I Promise I Vitamins, and Freshfields Village on Kiawah Island. Looking forward to hanging out tomorrow, starting tomorrow, all week long, and hopefully it's great weather. Looks to be a nice couple of days coming up in the forecast, so looking forward to that. The play-in tournament begins tonight for the NBA playoffs, and I'm looking forward to that as well. It starts tonight with Charlotte and Indiana, followed by Washington and Boston. And then tomorrow's the Western Conference. San Antonio and Memphis and Golden State and the LA Lakers at 10 o'clock tomorrow night. Both those games tomorrow are on ESPN, the Eastern Conference tonight on TNT. And then it continues Thursday and Friday with the winners against the losers, and we get to the actual full bracket this weekend. The Lakers against the Warriors is the game that certainly I'm most intrigued in, and I imagine the basketball world is as well. When you have LeBron James against Steph Curry, when you have the Lakers against the Golden State Warriors, right? The Warriors, the most recent dynasty, and the Lakers the biggest brand. And Steph Curry is on fire right now, had a great season, led the league in scoring. It's a single game, Golden State against the Lakers. So if Steph Curry gets hot, right, you never know. He can knock off the Lakers, send them to that next round where they'll have to play the winner of San Antonio, Memphis, however this whole thing works. But LeBron, we know in the past, we played the clip on the show here at the time, LeBron voiced his problems with the play-in game. He was not a fan. He went so far as to say whoever came up with that idea should be fired. They should lose their job. That's how terrible of an idea this play-in round is. That's what LeBron said at the time. But the Lakers should actually appreciate the play-in tournament and the fact that they're there. Because the Lakers, they're not going to lose back-to-back games. They get to play at home tomorrow against the Warriors. And even if they lose that game, if Steph Curry gets hot and he drains a bunch of threes and he has a great night, even if the Lakers lose to Golden State, then they get to play the Spurs or the Grizzlies. They won't lose both games. And the Lakers have been banged up really all year. They're still getting into the flow of things with LeBron coming back, Anthony Davis coming back. They've been easing them back in. And they finished the regular season by winning five games in a row. So they started, once they got their lineup back together, Dennis Schroeder's back, you know, they started to play better, win some games, look like the Lakers we were anticipating to end the season. And now as we head into the postseason, if you're the Lakers, wouldn't you rather have the extra game or two to continue to get things together before entering a playoff series? This is like the warm-up. Or this is like the final dress rehearsal. And yes, it is a playoff game. Yes, it's important. Your season's on the line. But still, for the Lakers, it's a pretty safe bet that they will make it through this play-in round, that they will have the opportunity to take on either the Jazz or the Suns in a full series. And wouldn't you want this warm-up instead of jumping right in with the Phoenix Suns? Because the alternative without this play-in tournament is that the Lakers would be a 7 seed, the playoffs will begin tonight instead, and you jump right in against the Phoenix Suns, who are one game away from having the best record in the entire league. And you have to kind of try to figure things out as you go. This gives, however, the Lakers another chance to get things together. I think LeBron had it all wrong a few weeks ago when he made those comments. I think he should appreciate the play-in tournament. The Lakers themselves should embrace it. And then it allows them to face the Phoenix Suns first, being in this play-in tournament, as opposed to if they went in as, say, a 6 seed, they won a game, whatever it was, you got to go up against the Nuggets or the Clippers in the first round. I would rather go the play-in round versus the Suns round. Right? The alternative to not being in the play-in tournament is being in a top 6 seed, if you're the Lakers. So let's say they finished 6th in the seeding and didn't have to be included in this play-in round. Well, then you'd have to jump right in with, say, the Nuggets or Clippers, depending on how the Clippers handled the end of their season. Whereas now, sure, you have this play-in round, but then it gives you the Suns. I think the Suns are the easier matchup, despite their record, than the Clippers would be, or even the Nuggets. But this lets the Lakers get their feet wet first, instead of jumping right in cold, and saying, okay, playoff series, here we go, best of 7 against whoever it may be. The Phoenix Suns, the Utah Jazz, the Denver Nuggets. And the Clippers, they avoided the Lakers. They lost the final 2 games of the season to the 2 worst teams in the league, who were tanking. The Clippers tanked against the Tankers. They sat all their starters on Sunday. They did not want to win. I heard Mike Greenberg get very upset about this yesterday on Greeny before we came on the air. But I think the Clippers had it backwards as well. Because, yes, I would rather have the 4 seeds path, which is what they will currently deal with, where you get to face the Mavericks in the first round and then the Jazz. That doesn't sound all that easy, but I would take that over the 3rd seeds path, which the Nuggets will have to go through, with the Portland Trail Blazers followed by the LA Lakers. But again, if I'm the Clippers, or any team for that matter, wouldn't you rather want to face the Lakers early as opposed to later in the postseason, instead of in the 2nd round when they already played more games together and they're clicking better? Right, wouldn't you rather face them right away, right now? Go play them tonight if you could. Because LeBron usually gets better. He gets stronger as the postseason goes on. This team will gel more as the postseason goes on. They'll get even maybe a little bit healthier as they work their way back from some injuries. I would rather try to get the Lakers early while they're vulnerable, as opposed to later in the postseason when they're in that quote-unquote midseason form by then. I think both these teams had it backwards. I think the Lakers can benefit from this play-in round, and I think if I'm the Clippers, I'd rather go play the Lakers right now instead of waiting for them in, say, the 2nd or 3rd. You're going to have to face them, you imagine. You're going to have to face them anyways. And it's, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. What kind of message is it sending that you're tanking the final 2 games to try to avoid the Lakers? What kind of message does that send to your team, to your players, or to the rest of the league? Like, yeah, we think we're a championship team, just as long as we don't have to face the Lakers in the first round. And hopefully we can avoid the Lakers. And if we do, then we can go win a championship. I don't like that messaging. I think it's kind of soft. I think if you believe you're a real champion and you have the stars that the Clippers have and you bring in a Kawhi Leonard and you bring in a Paul George and Tyronn Lue's now your head coach, you should feel like you could beat anybody, anywhere, anytime. Bring them on. It doesn't matter. It may be smart strategy because you get to avoid the other best team in the West, but at the same time, from the attitude perspective, you shouldn't be afraid of taking anybody on. I think both these teams had it backwards. And I would put the Brooklyn Nets in that same boat, that the Nets could benefit almost from a play-in round, right? They're similar to the Lakers. The Nets and the Lakers are somewhat similar in that they could both use maybe a few more warm-ups before they move into the postseason. The Nets could benefit from another game or two before diving right into the playoffs. Their stars, their trio, have played 8 games together, Harden, Durant, and Kyrie. Don't you think Brooklyn could also benefit from another game or two, much like the Lakers? And for that reason, it's another reason why I'd rather get the Nets early in the postseason, just like the Lakers. These are teams I want to play right away. I think I stand a better chance in the first round against the Nets, even if I'm the Wizards, than I do in the second round if I'm Milwaukee, or maybe potentially in the conference finals if I'm Philly. Because I think the more the Nets play together this postseason, the better they will become. I imagine they're going to get better the more they play, the further they go in the postseason. Oftentimes we think the more games you play, right, the more tired you're going to get, the more worn down you're going to be. Oh yeah, let's wait. Let's play them in the championship. By then they'll play 21 playoff games. They'll be all beat up. I don't think that's the case, especially when you're talking about Durant, Kyrie, James Harden, who missed a bunch of time this year anyways to make sure that they're rested, healthy, and good to go for this run. I'd rather face them right away before they get to start clicking and they're gelling. They've only played 8 games together, and I've said on the show before, I'm not so concerned about chemistry. But if you want to talk about when the Nets are more vulnerable, because they're my pick to win the NBA Finals, when do I think they could get upset the most? I think it's earlier in the postseason than later. I think they stand a better chance of losing in the first or second round than they do in the Eastern Conference Finals or NBA Finals once they get there. Once they get to the Conference Finals, if they reach the NBA Finals, you don't have that concern anymore. Like, oh, can this team figure it out? Well, obviously they could. They reach the NBA Finals. I don't think chemistry will play a big role, but if it does, it would be in the first round or two, not in the third or fourth round. By then, they'll be more comfortable with one another. So I'd rather play the Nets early. I'd rather play the Lakers early in the playoffs. And on the flip side, if I'm the Lakers, I appreciate the chance to have a couple of dress rehearsals here. And, you know, that minimizes the impact of these games. Call it a dress rehearsal, but I don't really have a better phrase for it. They are playing games. You really have to go out there and you got to win. You got to beat the Warriors tomorrow night. But it's not the full playoff. It's the play-in round to get to the playoff. We know the Lakers are going to make it through the play-in, even if they lose to the Warriors, and I don't think they will. But even if they do, they're not going to lose to the Spurs or the Grizzlies. LeBron is not going to get swept at home this week by two teams, you know, 9-10 and 8 in the standings. It's not going to happen. So they'll be there. And they could use the extra game. They could use a win against the Warriors. One more game before they get ready for somebody like the Phoenix Suns. The Brooklyn Nets could use an extra game. I mean, they sat James Harden on Sunday. I was a little surprised. They showed him on the sideline eating drinking a smoothie while they were beating the Cavs, whoever it was. Why not put him out there? These guys have already played together. Give him one more game. Why not? I imagine the Lakers will get better from this play-in round, and I think the Nets could be better as well. And the further they go on in the playoffs for both teams, they'll get better. The Nets, and maybe the Lakers, are reminiscent of the 2008 Celtics. That's when the Celtics brought in Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen, and they already had Paul Pierce. And they're the last team to win in year one like that when they brought these guys together. When they brought in all these stars, they put together the super team, right? In Miami, LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, they didn't win right away. It took them a little while to figure things out. But in Boston, those three, they were able to bring them in and win right away, which is what the Nets are trying to do this year. But the Celtics that year in 2008, despite only losing 16 games in the regular season, they went 7 games in each of the first two rounds of the playoffs. I mean, against the Hawks. The Hawks, against like the 8-seeded Hawks, they went 7 games. They were fortunate to make it out of the first round. They went 7 games in the first round, 7 games in the second round, then they started playing better. They didn't reach a 7th game in the conference finals or the championship. They got better later on in the tournament, in the playoff, even though the competition got better as well. And I think that's similar to Brooklyn. I think the Nets do struggle a little bit in the first round. It'll take them 6, maybe 7 games to win, even if they're going up against a 7-seed or an 8-seed. But as the playoffs go along and the competition gets better, so too will the Nets. And they'll start to click and get their legs underneath them. And as we get to the Eastern Conference Finals, I think you'll see that well-oiled machine we're all anticipating from Brooklyn. But I'm looking forward to the play-in round. It begins tonight on TNT. It's on ESPN tomorrow night. Looking forward to the games. If I had to rank them in terms of interest level, obviously Lakers-Warriors is number one. I wish that was a full series than just one game. But the one game and the urgency makes it even more interesting. Number two, I would say Celtics-Wizards. The Wizards are actually a surprisingly tough team. With Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook, they've been playing good basketball. They've won, I think, 17 of their last 21. They're playing good ball right now. They play at a fast pace. They get up and down the floor. They score points. They're a pretty fun team to watch. And on the flip side, the Celtics had high expectations this year, but they finished the regular season losing 15 of 20. They've been a huge disappointment. They should not be in this play-in round. But they still are the Boston Celtics. It's a big brand with some talent on that roster, and Brad Stevens leading the way. And they go up against the Wizards with, you know, the star power of Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook, and they play quickly and kind of an exciting fashion. So I think that's an intriguing matchup. Number three would be Spurs-Grizzlies, really solely for Ja Morant. The Spurs are never an exciting team, but you have Greg Popovich on one side, and you have the Grizzlies with Ja Morant on the other, and I would love to see more of Ja Morant in the postseason. And lastly, the Hornets-Pacers. I am very intrigued in the Hornets, mainly, that's what I'm trying to say. I combine mostly and mainly because, you know, they're kind of in our backyard, the Hornets. And they are a fun team to watch as well. And if Gordon Hayward is healthy, the Hornets could make a little noise as well. But going up against the Pacers, that would be the fourth of the play-in games I'm most interested in. But I think all of them are very intriguing. And the fact that it's somewhat of a one-and-done situation obviously makes it very intriguing as well. Much like the wild card games in the baseball playoffs, much like March Madness. That's what we love. The urgency. The win-or-go-home scenario. All right, the buzzer beaters, the dramatic finishes, and I think we get that the next couple of nights out of the play-in tournament. I've always been on record that I like the play-in tournament. LeBron James did not like the play-in tournament, but I think he may come to appreciate it. And that leads me to this. When we come back, it's time for our Tuesday Top 10. I had a bunch of ideas floating around for the Top 10 this week, but I figured with the play-in tournament starting tonight, and with guys like LeBron and even Luka and Mark Cuban unhappy about the play-in tournament, once they see things unfold this week, or even moving forward, I think they come to appreciate it. So when we come back, 10 ideas or inventions that originally were not appreciated, but it didn't take long for people to really be glad that they were around. And I'll give you that top 10 list when we come back. Things that were not appreciated at first, but then became very important to our society. It's the Morrow Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Coming up, 10 ideas, inventions, additions that people were very skeptical about. They did not like at first, but they quickly came around to love. It's our Tuesday Top 10, and it's coming up in just a moment here on the Morrow Midday Show at Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. I want to tell you about Lyerly's Dry Cleaners. They now have Lyerly's To Go, which can pick up or deliver right to your home or office. They do shirts, suits, casual wear, as well as curtains, comforters, and regular old household laundry. Call or text them, 843-377-6994, to schedule a free pickup. Mention you heard about Lyerly's on ESPN Radio right here, ESPN Radio Charleston, and you could get 20% off your next order. You can't beat it. You can even track your dry cleaning to see exactly when it will be ready or delivered. Lyerly's Dry Cleaners. Check them out. I just saw online that they are announcing or planning a documentary much like The Last Dance with Michael Jordan. And I'm not a big Saturday Night Live fan, but I got to give them credit. I thought they did a pretty good job making fun of The Last Dance. They added in like an uncut scene, or I should say a scene that was cut from the documentary, making fun of it with Michael Jordan's security guard, the guy with the curly mullet, playing quarters, and Charles Barkley was pretty good. Pretty funny from over the weekend. But they're announcing that they're coming out with a documentary in a similar style on Derek Jeter called The Captain, and that will come out next year. It is interesting. You know, Jeter, as a player, was always more on the boring side, but by design. And you have to give him credit for the amount of years he played in New York as the face of the franchise, the New York Yankees, and never really had any issues. So I'm curious what that documentary will be like. But Jeter was obviously a star, big name, Yankees, won a bunch of World Series, never got himself in trouble. We don't know much about his personal life. If you're going to dive in, if you're going to do a documentary, you have to include some of that stuff. You got to take us behind the curtain. Otherwise, I think there's not much to it. I think it's kind of be a boring documentary. Otherwise, it's just all the things we saw on the field, right? That was the great thing about the Jordan doc is that you had all that behind-the-scenes footage and the conversations and the breakdown. Are we going to get that from Jeter, who seemingly has always been a very private person? But that's the latest documentary. We did our list on the show a year ago, and I don't think Derek Jeter was mentioned. Tiger Woods was a popular choice. They have since done that, made a documentary. HBO Sports did on Tiger. It was only a two-part documentary. You know, but this is the new thing now. These documentaries on these different athletes, and Jeter will be the one to get that treatment. By the way, Jeter, he had to sell his house that Tom Brady was living in. He sold the house, so Brady's got to move out. I guess Antonio Brown has to move out of the guest house as well. And the house that had an air-conditioned six-car garage. I talk about bougie. I know Florida gets hot. I lived in Florida. I got to keep the air conditioned. You got to keep the garage air conditioned so when you get in your car, it's not so hot. That's nice. Had a movie theater. Had a huge wine cellar. Brady moved in there in the Tampa area when he played for the Bucks. And I thought Brady bought Jeter's house. I guess he was just living in there. I guess he was just like kind of leasing it from him. And Jeter said, hey, sorry, you got to go find someone. We sold it. We found the buyer. From what I hear, the houses in Florida are flying off the shelves right now. Because I guess it's a a good market to buy homes, and people are scooping up vacation homes in Florida. So very challenging. So somebody found Jeter's house. They bought that big old mansion for millions of dollars, and now Brady has to find a new home. He's building a house on an island like off of Miami, Tom Brady is. But in the meantime, he's got to find somewhere to live for the next year until that house is ready. The poor issues of somebody like Tom Brady. What is he going to do? So we were talking about the play-in tournament last segment. And I saw this article from Deadspin just now where they called the play-in tournament garbage. I would disagree. I think the play-in tournament's a great idea for the NBA. But we've heard guys like LeBron James, Luka Doncic, Mark Cuban speak out and talk about how stupid of an idea the play-in tournament is. But I think the Lakers could actually benefit from the play-in tournament. I laid out my case why last segment. And if you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand, ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. But I think the play-in tournament will be one that will be appreciated. Maybe not everybody likes it right now, but after we go through it for the first time this week, truly the first time. I mean, they had it last year in the bubble, but that was just a whole nother animal. But when we get a real look at the true play-in tournament this year, or maybe over the next couple of years, I think more people will come around to it because I think it is a good idea. We never like any new invention or idea or creation or just innovation, addition to the sports world. Most of them, I'll be honest with you, I dislike most of the new moves. Like Major League Baseball, all the changes they've been making. I don't know if I like a single move. I'm not a fan. We dislike everything because we don't like change. But then, once you try it out, then you realize, actually, you know what? It's not so bad. I mean, think back to the mid-90s when Bud Selig instituted the wild card in baseball. Before that, it was just, like you had two division winners. You had two, all right, we jump right into the AL and NLCS. He wanted to come up with a wild card, four teams. People hated that idea. Like, what are you talking about, a wild card? No, you have to win your division to go to the playoffs. Why are we rewarding these second-place teams? Imagine if baseball didn't have the wild card now. I mean, they're adding more wild cards. But I love the wild card idea from Bud Selig. But even that was unpopular. Every decision made usually is pretty unpopular. Some people will like it. A lot of people will dislike it. The people that dislike it will be more vocal. It'll seem like it's not a popular move. So with that said, it got me thinking. For the Tuesday Top 10, we do a Top 10 list every Tuesday. And I had all sorts of ideas. Because I guess over the weekend they announced a Friends reunion of the sitcom. So I was considering originally, maybe we do a Top 10 sitcoms list. Number one, of course, is Seinfeld. But I think we've actually done that list on the show maybe a couple of years ago. I think I've put together my Top 10 sitcoms. Today, by the way, is the 20-year anniversary of the Friends episode in which They got married. Courtney Cox character, 20 years ago. That happened 20 years ago. I saw that earlier. So I thought maybe we'll do sitcoms. But then I thought with a play-in tournament beginning tonight, let me go back and look up some of the great inventions that were originally disliked. I won't put the play-in tournament on the same level, but I do think the play-in tournament is one that... Oh, Monica, by the way, was the one that married Chandler. The play-in tournament is one that I think will become more popular with time, if it isn't already. Anyways, with all that said, it takes us to our Tuesday Top 10.
Time for the Tuesday Top 10, where we rank anything from quarterbacks to cheeseburgers right here on the Morrow Midday Show. Interested?
10 ideas that were not welcomed at first, but then quickly became very well liked. And by the way, you could do this with just about everything we've come up with, because as I said, people will always complain. There'll always be someone unhappy who thinks it's a terrible idea. Let's run through them. Number 10, airplanes. Wilbur Wright himself, one of the Wright brothers, said a man will not fly for 50 years after the latest failure. He was fed up. He was frustrated. He said, it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. And yet the first powered aircraft took flight just 2 years after he said that. And then fast forward years later, and somebody, I forgot the quote. I don't have the quote in front of me. Somebody said that the 10-person airplane is the largest we'll ever have. We can't go beyond this. They're never going to have a bigger plane than this 10-person airplane. Nowadays, we know that's not the case. We have much bigger planes than 10 people. Airplanes number 10. Number 9 on the list of things that originally was doubted or disliked and suddenly people loved it. Number 9 was space travel. Lee DeForest said, quote, I am bold enough to say that such a man-made voyage will never occur regardless of all future advances. That was a bold statement. It was also incorrect. The New York Times wrote, quote, a rocket will never be able to leave the Earth's atmosphere. Space travel is number 9. As an idea originally that people did not like. They were thinking, what is this crazy idea? And then after a little while, everybody was on board. Like, oh yeah, this is fantastic. We put people on the moon. Or at least in a Hollywood studio. Number 8, computers. A year after the first computer was created, a mathematician claimed, quote, we have reached the limit of what is possible to achieve with computer technology. Obviously, that was not remotely close to being true. Originally, computers took up a whole room. Right, nowadays, you got a computer in your pocket as you walk around. Additionally, in 1977, Ken Olson, founder of a computer company called Digital Equipment Corporation, said in 1977, quote, there is no reason anybody would want a computer in their home. Well, guess what? Today, over 80% of homes have a computer. Computers were not welcomed at first, but boy, do we love them now. You can't go anywhere without your own personal computer in your pocket. Number 7 of ideas, inventions, creations that were disliked at first that quickly became part of our life. Number 7, online shopping. Time magazine once wrote, quote, remote shopping will flop because women like to get out of the house. They like to handle the merchandise. They like to be able to change their minds. I guess the Time magazine did not, them folks did not really anticipate Amazon. Because you can change your mind. No, you can't really handle the merchandise. That's why I don't like online shopping. I like to see it first. You don't know what you're getting. You don't know about the sizing, how it fits you, the quality of the product. But you can change your mind. You can return it. You can cancel it. And we know online shopping, especially with the pandemic, has become incredibly popular and everybody loves it. Number 6, cell phones. Marty Cooper, who actually was the man that made the first phone call by cell phone, he then said 8 years later, quote, cell phones will absolutely not replace local wire systems, even if you project it beyond our lifetimes. I go back to what I said about the computers. You have to have a cell phone in your pocket now. If you're walking around and you left your phone in your car, in your home, you don't feel right until you get back to your cell phone. Marty Cooper was wrong when he thought there was not much of a need for cell phones. Number 5, on ideas, inventions, creations that originally were doubted or disliked at first, and then everybody came around on them. Number 5 would be electricity. Scientist Henry Morton called the invention at the time a conspicuous failure. And the British Parliament Committee deemed the light bulb, when it was first invented, quote, good enough for our transatlantic friends, but unworthy of the attention of practical or scientific men. I guess we have no more practical or scientific men because we all use, and are grateful, I imagine, the light bulb. Electricity, number 5. Number 4, cars. In 1899, we're going way back, the Literary Digest magazine. I still get that magazine. They wrote, the ordinary horseless carriage is at present a luxury for the wealthy. It will never, of course, come into as common use as the bicycle. Nowadays, if you're choosing bicycles over cars, I don't know what you're thinking. In fact, we've gotten so lazy that they had to motorize bicycles. You see those things around? Now I see people going down the road on a bicycle. They're riding these motorized bikes or electronic bikes you could get. Right? That's how far we've gone. Cars have passed bikes so much that they wanted to make the bike more like the car. By the way, the president of the Michigan Saving Bank later said, quote, the horse is here to stay. The automobile is only a novelty. It's a fad. Well, that fad has worn on now for over 100 years. And the horse, when it comes to transporting people, unless you're in downtown Charleston taking a tour, those have gone by the wayside. Number 3 of ideas, inventions, creations that people did not like at first, but then quickly came around to love. Number three would be the television. 1 year after its first public demonstration by its inventor, John Beard, radio pioneer Lee DeForest, who pops up again, he was very critical. Lee DeForest did not like inventions or change. But he said about the TV, he called it a commercial and financial impossibility and said, quote, "We don't need to waste more time dreaming about the TV." People still weren't convinced 20 years later when film producer Daryl Zanuck said that, quote, "People will soon get tired of staring at a plywood box every night." That didn't quite happen. In fact, people now spend more time staring at that plywood box than ever before. I'm guilty as well. Number two, the telephone. Invented in 1876 by Alexander Bell, he then approached Western Union to try to sell them the rights to his new invention. He said, "Hey, I got this great thing, a telephone. You could call people in other homes. You could talk to somebody when they're not in front of you. You use this machine, you talk to somebody somewhere else. It's amazing." And they told him that the phone had obvious limitations and was not more than a toy. They were uninterested. 20 years later, over 150,000 people owned a telephone. They obviously were wrong. And number one on the list of ideas, creations, inventions that people did not like at first but turned out to be very wrong quickly afterwards. Apple, the company. It was even doubted by one of its own founders. Ronald Wayne was one of the three founders, but he did not think the company was going anywhere. And in 1976, he sold his stake in the company for $800. I would have to look up on my inflation calculator how much that would be worth today. But I can tell you, and these websites aren't always accurate, if you look up Ronald Wayne now, he is still alive, his net worth is $400,000. Compare that to the other founders of Apple. Ronald Wayne has said on record he does not regret it, but of course, what else are you going to say? That's what you have to tell yourself. "Oh, no, I don't regret it. I made the right move. Things work out fine. Everything happens for a reason." All these cliches we tell ourselves to believe what we want. But that's number one. Ronald Wayne, one of three founders. He helped found the company. If anybody should believe in it, it should be him. And yet, in 1976, he said, "I'm out. This is not working. Give me my $800 and good luck to you guys." And now, look at Apple. I go back to the idea of always needing that computer in our pocket. The lesson here being, I could find quotes, examples, stories from really every invention about people doubting it because we just don't like change. But also, B, don't ever give up. Right? Chase your dreams. Believe in yourself because nobody knows what they're talking about. And that's the Tuesday Top 10. The top biggest inventions, creations that were disliked at first, but people became very wrong in their dislike or their lack of trust in these ideas. I cannot put the play-in tournament on the same level as a telephone or a TV or cars. We're not going to look back 20 years from now and say, "Wow, that play-in tournament, that was as smart as when they created the cell phone." But the point being, I think the play-in tournament is the latest example of something that we just don't like. People are talking out against it, writing these articles. Players are speaking out against it. A few years from now, we'll look back and think like, "Wow, that was really dumb. Wow, people really did not like the idea of adding a wild card in baseball 25 years ago. That was pretty stupid. How could they not like that idea?" We go through this all the time with really all inventions, and I think the same with the play-in tournament. That's the Tuesday Top 10. 10 inventions, 10 ideas that were not liked at first, but boy, were those doubters clearly wrong. I think the play-in tournament will be the same way. Coming up, which NBA teams should be on upset alert this postseason? It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Coming up, which NBA teams should be on upset alert? It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. If you ever miss anything from the show, such as our Tuesday Top 10, you can always find it on demand, ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. Looking forward to getting out for the PGA Championship starting tomorrow, where we'll be doing our shows live from Kiowa over the next couple of days. And doing special shows on the weekend as well. Don't forget, we have Citadel Baseball tonight as well. Final Citadel Baseball broadcast of the year as they take on the College of Charleston. 6 o'clock first pitch. Coverage begins at 5:45 on The Zone, 94.7 FM and 910 AM. NBA postseason begins tonight as well. Looking forward to watching those games. The playoff field is almost turned upside down this year. When you look at some of the teams in the bottom of the conference, like in the West, if you took preseason expectations, you could almost flip it on its head. Not entirely, because, you know, the Jazz aren't some team that we've been slumbering on, but the Phoenix Suns is the 2 seed, and yet you have the Lakers down at the 7 seed, the Warriors at the 8. We knew the Warriors wouldn't be one of the best teams in the West this year, but it's just surprising to see the Lakers, the Warriors, the Spurs in the play-in round. And yet, the top of the West, it's the Jazz, the Suns, and the Nuggets, as good as some of those teams may be. In the Eastern Conference, Philly, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, they're there. Those teams, we expected to be there. But the Miami Heat won the East last year, and yet they're a 6 seed. The Boston Celtics have the expectation to be one of the best teams in the East every year, and yet they're a 7 seed in the play-in round. So there's some good talent, some tough teams potentially, some teams that at least had high expectations towards the bottom of these brackets. And that's why we could maybe get some upsets. I think there are a lot of fun matchups to look forward to in the first round of the NBA playoffs. I'm looking forward to Dallas and the Clippers once again. The Clippers, I think, may be the best team in the West. And Dallas is one of the better teams to watch in the West. Luka Doncic is one of my favorite players, despite all his complaining. One of my favorites to watch in the NBA. I think that's a fun series. The Suns and the Lakers, I think, will be a fun series. Because you have LeBron and the Lakers, I think they'll be favored, even though they're going up against the number 2 seeded Suns. So not only do you have the star power of LA, the expectations of them still winning a championship, but then on the flip side, you have the Phoenix Suns with a great opportunity to show us that they are for real, that they are one of the best teams in the West, and they could do it right away against the Lakers. In the East, I think the Hawks-Knicks is very interesting. Two teams that we were not expecting to see in the middle of the Eastern Conference. And the Knicks won all 3 matchups this year, but they're the best defensive team in the league. And the Hawks are much more offensive, led by Trae Young. They got a lot of weapons. Nate McMillan has done a good job since taking over. That could be a fun matchup, one of those, you know, something's got to give type of deals. And also in the first round, I'm looking forward to the Bucks and the Heat. Can Giannis and the Bucks, you know, play well in the postseason? And they go up against the Heat, which is a tough matchup for them. The Heat were just in the finals a year ago. And the Heat, they're playing better basketball as the year has gone on. In fact, I'll get more into that in just a moment. And lastly, what if we get the Wizards and the Brooklyn Nets in the first round? If the Wizards come out of that play-in tournament as the 7 seed. I think that would be intriguing to see Russell Westbrook go up against James Harden and Kevin Durant, as well as, of course, Kyrie Irving. Who should be on upset alert? Well, in the East, it's the matchup I just mentioned. I think the Bucks need to be concerned in the very first round against the Heat. The Heat beat the Bucks in the playoffs a year ago. They were in the NBA Finals a year ago. And I think they have the coaching advantage. I give Eric Spoelstra the tip of the cap over Mike Budenholzer. Budenholzer has always underachieved in the postseason, whereas Spoelstra has almost overachieved. He's won. I mean, go back to last year. Somehow he has won more than we've ever really anticipated in Miami. And the Heat finished this season as a top 10 defensive team in the league. Their offense got better as the season went on. And what's interesting is that the Heat play at the 4th slowest pace in the league. The Bucks play at the 2nd fastest. So this is one of those series, much like the Hawks-Knicks, that something's got to give here. Whichever team is going to have control, whichever team is going to force their opponent to play on their level, will be the team most successful. And the Heat were able to do that a year ago. They were able to do that in some of their matchups with the Bucks this year. But if the Heat can slow things down, play a slower game, a little more of a defensive game, grind it out, they'll be more successful. If the Bucks can continue to play at a high, fast pace, get up and down the floor on Miami, right, then they will have success. But I think it could be a tough draw for the Bucks, and I would be concerned about Milwaukee already in the first round. In the West, it will technically be an upset based off of seeding, but it's obviously the Suns should be on upset alert if they do get the Lakers as the 7 seed. And if the Lakers wind up as an 8 seed, I would say then the Jazz would be on upset alert. I think the Lakers are better than both of those teams, and the Lakers would beat either of those teams. I think there's a lot of fraudulent behavior around the Suns and the Jazz. I don't buy them. And then lastly, if Washington takes on Brooklyn, I don't think Brooklyn will lose. They're my pick to win the NBA championship. But I do think Washington can make things tough on them in a playoff series. The Wizards are playing good basketball. They finished the year winning 17 of their last 23 games. They have Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook, two stars at the guard position. And then you get the Westbrook versus James Harden situation and Kevin Durant. I think Russell Westbrook would be locked in. And while maybe he hasn't had the success in the postseason that you would like, you can never doubt the effort or the hustle. And so I think Washington would make things tough on Brooklyn. They wouldn't win the series, but I think it'd be a grinded out kind of six-game type of deal where it would not be easy on Brooklyn. And the Hornets, who are playing in the play-in round, I think that could be intriguing as well, depending on where they wind up. If they get a healthy Gordon Hayward, they're a tough team. They have some weapons. They can get up and down the floor. They can score some points. Again, they won't win a series, but they can make things tough for a Philadelphia or a Brooklyn as well. Give them a tougher first-round matchup than maybe we're anticipating. I think when it comes to the play-in round, the Lakers will be coming out of it in the West. And I think Steph Curry is good enough this time of year that the Warriors, even if they lose tomorrow night, could find a way. And in the East, I'll be certainly hoping for Charlotte, and I think Washington is the best of the four teams in the East in the play-in round. When we come back, we'll wrap up Hour 2. And coming up, the best college town in the state of South Carolina. It's the Moore Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.
Fan Lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Moore Midday Show.
'25 and '98, I throw the rock and roll party on my last birthday, but it's good. I'm rocking my life away. I've been moving and I'm grooving and I'm getting both night and day. I got a gal called Nelly, she's a chili pepper hot. She knows how to roll a killer note, how to rock, and I'm rocking, rocking my life
coming up
away.
Best college town in South Carolina. It's the Moore Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio, wrapping up Hour 2. So there's become this popular Twitter account called Big Game Boomer. And he's a big college football fan. He puts out all sorts of lists, and he does work for 24/7 Sports. And it's just one man's opinion, but these things, you know, we all love lists. It's what I always say. That's why we do a Tuesday Top 10. We do lists on the show all the time. We love lists. We love stacking things up, comparing them to one another. And so Big Game Boomer puts out all his different lists, and it gets people talking online, and, oh, this guy's crazy. And some of it is a little hot takey, but it's just, hey, it's his opinion. And it's one man's opinion. It doesn't mean it's right or wrong. Well, when he put out his latest list, it caused a lot of drama for the best college town of each state. And for this state, he chose South Carolina. And that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. He chose Columbia for the state of South Carolina. He chose the Gamecocks as the best college town. And this rubbed people the wrong way, especially Clemson fans. They were not happy. Well, Big Game Boomer was on a podcast, and he was explaining. He's actually from the Clemson area. He grew up a Clemson fan originally. Then he went to Oklahoma. He became an Oklahoma fan. The rest is history, hence the Twitter handle, Big Game Boomer. But here was Big Game Boomer explaining why he has felt that Columbia and the Gamecocks, that's the better college town than the Tigers and Clemson.
And so, you know, I picked Columbia over Clemson as a better college town because, you know, I spent a lot of time going to Clemson games, and I don't think I ever ate at a restaurant in Clemson growing up. I don't think I ever did. I don't think there's that many. The Smoking Pig, which is one, you know, what Clemson fans regard to as one of the best restaurants, that's not even in Clemson. That's in, I think, Pendleton.
Yep.
Just South Carolina has, Columbia has a lot more going on for a college student. What's that? Is that little area called Five Points, I believe?
Yep.
I mean, that's a great little hopping area that is a great spot for, you know, if you're a student, you know, you want to go down there and have a good time. And, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't even know. I don't think Dabo Swinney lives in Clemson. I think he lives in Seneca.
How about that? Your own coach can't even live in your town. How could that be the best college town? That's Big Game Boomer explaining his decision of why he put Columbia first. Again, it's just one man's opinion. We take these lists online as gospel. But I do tend to agree with him. I spent time in both towns and both areas. And I'll be honest with you, I'd rather be in Charleston. And we got colleges around here. If I had, I don't think that's a hot take. If I had to pick one place to be in this state, it is Charleston. I don't care to spend any more time in Columbia. I don't care to spend any time in Clemson either. And I like the Upstate. I'll hang around in Greenville if I'm in the Upstate. But I think it's a fair layout of comparing the two, and with Columbia being certainly the better option to spend some time in, or maybe even being a college student. I didn't go to college at either of the schools. I didn't go to either one of those colleges. I would imagine Columbia is better than being in the Clemson area. In fact, I grew up with I used to work with somebody who went to Clemson. Wherever you go, college is always a fun time. But in terms of the surrounding area, I think I would agree with Columbia. Now, by the way, Big Game Boomer put out more of his list. He ranked the best student sections in college football. And he has the Gamecocks at number 6 on that list, followed by Clemson a little bit further down at 16 on the list. So they both make the top 20 of best student sections. But he has the Gamecocks beating Clemson there as well at number 6. I've been to a football game both places, as a fan in Columbia and as a broadcaster at Clemson. Now, granted, for the Clemson game, that was, of course, this past year during the pandemic against the Citadel, so it wasn't a full house. And I think they were also using fake crowd noise, but I thought both places were good environments, and I did not come away, if I look back on both events, both games I was at, I could not come away strongly putting one over the other, saying like, oh yeah, that place was much better. I thought both places were good environments, the fans were into it, Clemson was a fun place to broadcast. Williams-Brice was a fun place to be a fan at. And it was such a hot, muggy day that day, and then it poured, and I got out of there. I said, forget this. I'm not hanging out in the rain watching this game. But Big Game Boomer, his latest list and his reasoning why. That even as a Clemson fan, he put South Carolina ahead of Clemson in terms of the better college town and the better student section. Not necessarily fan base or home environment, but just the student section alone. He has Wisconsin number 1 for student sections, followed by Texas A&M, Penn State, LSU, Arizona, and then South Carolina. Now again, it's just one man's opinion. But for some reason, Big Game Boomer has found the nice space, a little niche here on Twitter, that his list, his rankings, that's become like the be-all, end-all. People are going freaking out over this. Oh, how could he rank this team ahead of this team? That's just his opinion. But Big Game Boomer, maybe it's the Shane Beamer connection from Oklahoma. He's leaning more Gamecocks than Clemson when it comes to better area and better fans of the games as well. Hour 3 coming up next. Which teams are underrated right now in the Power 5? It's the More Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.